Welcome to Lamb Parties, episode 188 from the Las Vegas Review Journal. I am your host, Ryan Smith, and with me, as always, my amazing co-host, Lucas Egan. Lucas, how was your weekend, my friend?
We survived Tropical Storm Hillary, although, to be honest with you, it didn't hit us that badly. Just a little bit of rain, which was actually kind of nice because the weather cooled off to like the 80s, which I am all for. Ryan, I know that you had a little bit of a trek, though, over the weekend with it, but my weekend was good. You know what I started doing on Marvel Snap is I started doing Conquest, and that is super addicting, and now that's taking up a lot of my time. So that was mainly it for me, though. Ryan, how was your weekend? I know you had to drive out. Did you survive the iffy weather?
Nope, I am a ghost, actually. I did not make it. Yeah, it was good. My flight actually got canceled Friday night, so that was a bit of a pain. The wedding wasn't until Sunday, though, so I knew I had time. I wasn't in any kind of big hurry, so I just rented a car, drove out there. Driving was fine. I got to see a buddy of mine that like lives close to L.A. Beforehand, and then went out to the wedding. Beautiful wedding again. Big, big congratulations to John, his beautiful bride, Christina. Great people, great times. All fun was had by all. Obviously, though, I didn't get a lot of gaming in this past weekend. So I'm looking forward to being able to sit down. We know that Destiny 2 actually today, as of this recording, had their showcase for Season 22, Season 23, and then what will be the final shape, the last installment of the Light and Dark Saga. Things are the story has gotten absolutely bonkers. I'm loving it. They also kind of introduced the fact that after the Light and Dark Saga, after the final shape, it sounds like they're going to be going and switching into an episodic type of structure. I don't know how I feel about it. Yeah, I was like, I might be done after the Light and Dark Saga. I don't know that I can keep it. It's been 10 years. I just want to finish that off and see how it ends. And I don't know. We'll see. We'll go from there. But I'm sorry. I'm kind of getting derailed here. It was good. It was a great weekend. speaking of good weekends and stuff, I can't believe we forgot to say something about this last week. But our friends, obviously, over at Vegas Inferno were honored with an award from the Las Vegas Weekly, which was really cool to see them. I believe it was for best
reason to embrace esports.
Yes, best reason to embrace esports. And had I actually clicked on the picture, you would have been able to see that. What I was talking about here. I'm trying to line it up, and I had to zoom in on it and stuff like that. But you know, again, to be able to see this esports organization, my esports organization, the one that I am also a part of as well, to see just the good work that we're doing here in Las Vegas, in the state of Nevada, and seeing this kind of recognition, again, only solidifies that. It just puts a spotlight, more of a spotlight on it. And the fact that you see, like most people aren't really going out to win awards. But to see this kind of recognition, to be able to go there and in front of these other folks that are winning awards and stuff like that, your colleagues and folks that are within the space as well, is absolutely brilliant. So huge congratulations to them on that and that win. I know that we have to get them back on the show here soon to talk about it more and see what the plans are here for the future. But what are your thoughts on it, dude?
Yeah, it's great news. You know, obviously, Ryan, you know the guys and gals over there. We know that Hyrule works hard, and the whole team there just does their best. So it's also nice just to see esports in general kind of get more traction in Las Vegas. Yeah. Obviously, we know it has been, but the more recognition we can get out there, the better. And it's a great award for a great organization, and it's nice, just nice to see people get promoted in that way. And it's important. It shouldn't be important, but it's important to the development of the esports scene. I feel to the general public for them to get their eyeballs on it some more. So well deserved and super important, I think, for the long term development.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, big congratulations to Hyro. The whole team, there's a lot that goes behind the scenes as well in terms of, and the folks that you know, either are streaming or doing things, there's just a lot of good that's happening here in Nevada. And it's nice to see these organizations come together, and for them to be able to get that kind of recognition, I think is fantastic. You don't see any other esports organizations really, and there are, don't get me wrong, I know that, you know, there's Storm Rush Gaming, there's some other local organizations that really do a lot of work. It's not just Inferno. There are other folks out here that are doing good work and stuff like that, but like some of these bigger organizations, you don't really ever hear much from them, at least on a local terms, and them doing things locally. So it's nice to be able to be not only a representative and to be able to be a part of that, but just to see, a good local esports team and these esports teams coming together and doing community work and bringing things to the community, I think is always fabulous, in my opinion. Speaking of which, you're going to go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to call out just a little bit here, because as you mentioned, it's nice to see the local organizations get recognized and doing great things in the community. Sometimes the bigger organizations don't do that. I'm going to call them out a little bit. At least branded wise, Las Vegas has a Call of Duty franchise now that I don't know that I've seen much local interaction at all. I'm just going to be transparent. I have tried to reach out to them to try and get people on for the show. And just as you can tell, no one's been on.
He says, I'm going to call them out. It's true, though. I mean, you know, they take on the name, but there doesn't seem to be a lot of involvement within the actual community. And that's where a lot of that stuff, I feel like, kind of fall short a little bit, especially at a higher level, where a lot of these teams are composed of folks that really aren't even from the places. And again, that doesn't define whether a team is good or not, but what right. they do in the community and how they, you know, take that brand and work that and see what they can do. I feel like there has been a lack of involvement. I don't know that I've seen them out at anything, to be honest. So, it's interesting how that works. But again, there are a lot of teams out here that are doing a lot of local stuff, charities, events. I know they stay steady grinding.
Right.
So, you know, again, that is true. It's interesting to see that. But there are plenty of folks out there representing both the esports and video game world on so many different levels, on a local level, on a state level. So I think it'll only grow from there. But we did want to bring attention. I know many of you, if you kept up with the news or anything like that, there were the horrible wildfires over in Maui, especially, I mean, just completely devastating, the loss that happened there. And there, you know, there's obviously investigations and things of that nature going on. I actually stayed there with my dad for his birthday here a few years back. I took him over there, and it's like the same area that we were in, and it got burnt down, essentially. So I know the folks over at Nevada Esports Education League are putting on a charity stream, which actually starts here in about 3 days. It starts on the 25th of this month. I just wanted to read directly a quote from their Twitter. It says, "We are in solace of the major tragedy that is happening in Maui. In honor of our state pride of being the ninth island, the Nevada Esports Education League is hosting a Twitch Kick fundraiser for Maui from August 25th through the 27th. There's sign up sheets. So again, if you're a streamer, if that's something that you're looking to do, you want to be able to help out, you can go on and sign up for the cause. Obviously, there's other ways of being able to help out, sharing it Any kind of donation that you may be able to do is greatly, greatly going to be appreciated. They've got a link here as well. So again, this is that what we were talking about, Lucas, and that is something that's known here in Las Vegas. We're considered the ninth island. There's a very big Hawaiian population out here, and a lot of folks kind of go back and forth. So it's not surprising to see. And I'm again, so happy that there's folks over here within this video game space that care enough to be able to set something up like this and be able to raise funds to be able to help out the folks in Maui. Again, if you've seen the news reports, if you've seen the videos and pictures, it's absolutely devastating. So every little bit will definitely help in terms of being able to support our friends over in Maui.
Yeah, for sure. Please share this information if you can. If you can afford it, donate, please. Yeah, you're right. The Hawaiian connections here run so deep. And, you know, just to take a quick little broader look, you know, it's nice to see so many local businesses and companies step up here. And we are the ninth island for a reason out here. There's a really deep connection between Vegas and Hawaii. And it's just a terrible, terrible situation that so many people out there have to deal with. And this can just be a small way that we can give back. And, you know, we've seen this time and time again from gamers that there's a lot of very generous and kind people within this community who don't hesitate to step up to the plate when people are in need. So it's just another example of the good that this community can do. And if you can, please give time, give money, give the information to your audience. Do whatever you can.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm gonna have to look to see if I'm be able to maybe I'll be able to sneak a stream in for that as well. But, you know, again, I've got friends that live over there. I hit up my buddy because I know him and his family I knew they lived at one. I couldn't remember which island they were staying at. So I had to hit him up, make sure that they were okay. But yeah, he's the one that told me, he was like, it was literally where we stayed that one time that we were in Maui. It's just like, oh man. And I just seeing those pictures and that kind of devastation, it's just like, that is how does that happen? It's so difficult, especially the fact that Hawaii is isolated. So, right. You know, their resources are limited. So something like that happens. And, you know, as we can see, it has devastating results. So, you know, again, if you have any way of being able to help, even if it's just sharing, talking about it, everything helps. In terms of this, and we want to make sure that we're over there and helping out our brothers and sisters that are over there dealing with that stuff right now. So again, I'm just going to pop it up on screen. There's the links right there. You can find the link, all that information at Nevada Esports Education League on their X account, their Twitter account, whatever we're calling it. I'm excited to see it, and maybe I'll be able to participate, but if anything, I will definitely be watching and sharing it out and getting thrown some ducats at it. We should probably switch gears to some news, though. Some outside news. I'm glad we were able to. I feel like we had to hit the local stuff. We had to get the local stuff up first. But what do we got? What do we got, Lucas?
Well, first of all, it's very appropriate that we're both wearing red today. Yes. and that we got this memo. It also fits this first news story very well. So Ryan, I like the unintentional matching going on here. But we got news that possibly one of, if not the most recognizable voice in video games, even if you don't know his name, is stepping away. So Charles Martinet, who is probably he's the voice of Mario, and he is retiring from the role to become a Mario ambassador with Nintendo. Clearly, obviously, Charles has done this for years and years and years and decades. It's crazy to think that for so long, I feel like people obviously know what Mario sounds like, but they never really think about who voiced him for all these years. And right. it's It's a sad day just because this man has defined so many of our childhoods. Like it's crazy to think about that. Clearly, he deserves to step back if he wants to. He earned it. Obviously, I'm assuming we'll still see him in a public role as an ambassador. But just a sad day. I think they also noted that Mario Wonder is going to have a new Mario. So it starts with that. We'll see what happens. Ryan, I told you before we started recording, clearly the easy choice that will not cause any controversy whatsoever and that the internet will 100% get behind is to just let Chris Pratt voice him.
All right, Chris Pratt has turned into that guy that's just in everything now. Somehow, he is just everywhere. I didn't realize that it's been the same voice actor since Mario 64. That absolutely blows my mind because, I mean, you're right. He has spanned that role generationally. I remember being a kid and the 64 came out and all that stuff. So it's like, it's interesting to think, like, what a storied career, what absolutely, absolutely legendary, being able to go out on a high note, and especially just being able to have that close and that long of a relationship with Nintendo, being able to voice this iconic character that, like we were saying, spans generations. I don't think there's anybody on the planet that doesn't know who Mario and Luigi is, you know, so... It's like, man, that is wild. I'm wondering, though, is it just them moving on or him? Well, so he just wants to be, he's done with it. He is retiring. He is stepping off the throne and handing the crown to a new successor, which you said is going to be coming out with, what'd you say it was? Mario what?
With one, the new next Super Mario Bros. Wonder.
Because there's three of them, right? There's three. Well, there's that. There's the Princess Peach standalone game.
Right.
And then there was something else that was announced. What a legend. What an absolute legend. Big thank you again for just being a part of so many people's childhoods and being able to and voicing this iconic character that we've all come to know and love, I think is amazing. Does he do Luigi's voice too?
I don't believe so, but I don't know that for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure if there was any other voices that he did as well, but I mean, just to be able to have that kind of security too as a voice actor has to be amazing. We've seen it with so many other people like Steve Downs and you know, Master Chief were like, you get this iconic character, and obviously these iconic characters are brought to life by these actors. So, the actors and the writers. So it's just, again, what an honor to be able to see the work that he's done over the many iterations. And I'm excited to see then what the direction is that they go with the new actor. Is it going to be something where the new actor is trying to emulate that old voice, or is it going to be something where they put a different spin on it? Only time will tell, and we'll see how that plays out. Because like we saw in the movies, you know, and Chris Pratt playing Mario, I remember being super like, oh, this is not good. I was like, he didn't even sound like Mario. Like, what are you doing here? I thought they were very clever in how they did what they did. And I actually, I had a great appreciation for that because that was going to be my biggest, that already was my biggest issue. Like Chris Pratt does not sound like Mario. That's just weird. Nope. But how they went about going about it. And if you've seen the movie, I was like, that makes sense. They were just playing a character for a commercial and they're really just two normal guys that happen to go down pipes and save princesses and all that good stuff. But big congratulations. Huge thank you to Charles Martinet and everything that he has done with Mario. And just thank you.
Yes, I will say the one thing I do not appreciate about this is, Ryan, we're getting at that age where characters we know are starting to be retired or their actors at least are stepping away. And I feel like now we've entered like a different age bracket.
Yeah, no, we are at the getting close to old bracket. Don't remind me, man. Don't remind me. It's like, hey, I feel young at heart. I feel young at heart. So, but GG's on that. That is what a long storied career to be able to do that, and then to be able to pass that mantle down to the next folk. And I'm sure Nintendo did, you know, something special for him as well. So just all around, it's great to see. It's sad to see him step away, but it's greatly appreciated just the time that was put in and everything that he has done, not only for Mario, but just the video game world in general. So
exactly. Yep. I'll tell you, it's been kind of a rough year. I mean, I said goodbye to Ash, and now the Mario Charles is stepping away. Gosh, I feel like checking on Steve and be like, Steve, are you okay, man? Do you feel you're sticking with Master Chief, right?
yeah. We gotta reach out and have him on the show sometime. Super, super cool guy. Really, really down to earth. But yeah. So that's what we got. Maybe we'll reach out to Charles and be like, hey, come on the show. Talk to us about some things and stuff.
There you go.
But speaking of retro things, I'm going to let you take this one, Lucas. You actually wrote about it earlier as well.
Yes, Atari is back in the headlines with a quote new console, which is really more of a retro console. Anyway, they are coming out with the Atari 2600 Plus later this year. That is a quote, a modern reimagination, I guess, or a tribute to the original 2600. It's going to retail for $130. I believe you can start to pre-order now off of Atari's website. It's going to come with a game cartridge that has 10 games in one. There's going to be a couple of other titles available at launch. The joystick controller is supposed to be a faithful adaptation or representation of the original joystick controller. So if you are a retro game fan, I imagine this is pretty exciting news. And actually, for gamers that never got a chance to play the 2600, the one good thing that we've seen with other retro consoles is now gamers are having a chance to go back and experience titles and systems that we've never had the chance to. Like, I never got the chance to play the 2600, so this sounds like a pretty fun way to do it, to kind of experience a piece of gaming history. We'll see if the price point is right. I feel like that's a little on the edge I have to think about it. I feel like $99.99 is kind of that cutoff where once you start going above $100, I think then it stops being an impulse purchase for me where I don't really have to think about it, and it starts being, I kind of have to consider it. But if they do it right, retro consoles have been wildly successful. If they do it wrong, it also hasn't done, like, there's been consoles that haven't done very well. So we'll see how this one does out in the wild. But on the face of it, I think this is pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting when I first, when you first said something about this, I was like, why though? Like, I don't understand why. Like, I feel like it's not necessary. You have things like Antstream Arcade that has these retro games. I do remember we had an Atari 2600 when I was young. But I absolutely remember it and the joystick and everything like that. What really strikes me within what we saw there, too, is that, excuse me, original cartridges and that stuff is going to be compatible with this system. So if you've already got Atari 2600 games, which I don't know a lot of people that do, but the fact that you're able to play those old games, even if they're like the... you know, you've had them forever. The fact that they are supposed to work with this system, I think that's absolutely huge, especially for it being a retro system. I love the fact that it's got the HDMI. It's got the look. I mean, it's got the look, the feel of the original system, which is a lot of fun. Interestingly enough, I thought that it's $129, right?
Yes.
It's like, I don't mind that price point. For being a new console, again, I got to see what games would look like? Are people going to be able to actively go out and get games? Are they looking to bring back or create more games? It'll take in 2,600 and 7,800 cartridges. My thing, though, is, again, what does the longevity of this look like? Is this just,
right,
hey, we've got some stuff and you know, here you go. Isn't this cool and retro and awesome? You should definitely check it out. But it's like, for me, it's like, well, are you guys, is there going to be any more games or new games that are developed for the system? Is it just going to be basically bringing back all these old games that were there before onto what is the 2600 plus? I would be curious to see what the plan is for that. But I feel like for 130, that's not a brat. I don't feel like it's a bad price point. I do understand what you're saying. Like, that does start getting to the level of like, oh, I'm not going to just one off and be like, oh, I see it in store, I might as well pick it up. You got to put a little bit of thought into it. But I'm curious to see what the development cycle looks like for this. If they do plan on bringing in new games, or if it's just kind of a, here's this thing that can, and I think it's cool that you can bring in some of these older cartridges because you can go to stores and I'm sure you're able to find them, but I don't know what the price point even looks like for games on, right, on an Atari. Like what, how much does a game cost? I don't know.
I would imagine they're about to go up.
Oh, well, yeah. Start stocking up on them now. This comes out November 17th is when this drops, which is, I feel like that's pretty good timing as well.
Right.
We're in holiday season. You've got you got the Gobble Gobble Day, and then of course Christmas and all the other holidays during December as well. So
I think
it'll be all right.
If you know somebody that grew up with the 2600 or just likes gaming history, this would be a pretty awesome stocking stuffer.
Oh, for sure. You said a stocking stuffer? Imagine that, dude. This is what are you talking about, man? This is the big gift.
That's the gift. Yeah, you're right.
He said stocking stuffer, like, yo, I'm coming to your crib for Christmas. Yeah. Oh, you guys got me an Atari 2600. You guys are too kind. This is really cool though. And again, we've had that conversation multiple times as well, just talking about games preservation, being able to have access and allowing folks that either weren't alive at that time or whatever to be able to experience these retro games and see, you know, where kind of like the starting point for video games and what it was like, I think is super important to be able to allow people access. Again, my biggest thing is, how much do the games cost? What's the plan in terms of, will new games be developed for this, or is it just taking the old library and being like, here you go? Because then at that point in time, you can't just go to a store and pick up Atari games. So I'm curious, right, to see, you know, with this dropping and releasing, will they be trying to actually sell cartridges in store? That is going to be the biggest deal, I think, to me. If it's easily accessible to folks, I don't think there's going to be any problem being able to sell these, especially at that price point. I think the retro nostalgic feel is gonna get a lot of people right out the gate. And those people, those are folks that grew up with this. We were kids at that time. So 128 or 129 starting price point, I feel like at least makes it somewhat competitive. I think if they would have gone any higher, it's not even a talking point at that point. But I feel like at 129, I think they can move some stuff off the shelves. I'm just curious about what the plan is for the games. And I'm also not seeing any kind of like, it doesn't look like there's any online play or anything like that as well. So it'll be locally. I kind of would have loved to have seen them be able to do four players. You know, it's kind of a bummer that it's only two players. But again, maybe they'll come out with some sort of peripheral that allows for, you know, more ports or something like that. So it'll be interesting to see what they end up doing with this. But I mean, it's definitely something to consider. I feel like at least I'm just like, all right, man, like for that price point, I can mess with that. I can mess with that. I don't need it. But, you know,
I will say nostalgia obviously is big in entertainment just in general. So if it's done right, like you said, Ryan, I'm sure it'll be a hit. You know, we've seen it from the Mario movie to Barbie to everything in between. So yeah, the ingredients are there for them to have a hit on their hands.
Absolutely. Let's take a quick break and then we're going to come back and talk about some more news. We'll be right back, y'all. Every Wednesday, join Lucas and Ryan as they talk video games and esports with the industry's biggest names. Download LAN Parties now on every major podcasting platform.
Welcome back, everybody. And now we had some pretty interesting and juicy news come out, Ryan. We knew that the Embracer Group had a $2 billion deal on the table that fell through. And since that has fallen through, the effects have been pretty damaging for a great number of people there. They had to shutter some studios, restructure. Like, it was all bad. Ryan, we have now found out what that deal was supposed to be, if you want to take us through it.
Yeah. And this was interesting, too, when this first came out, because I remember hearing rumblings about a major deal that they were working on, and then it just completely fell through. Not only did it fall through, but, like, it was very, very damaging to the Embracer Group as a whole. But basically, and again, this is from Axios News, Stephen Totilli, or I'm sorry, Totilo, wrote about this, but it is the Saudi-funded Savvy Games was the mystery partner that basically is bringing the Embracer Group down to its knees. I just want to read directly from this this first quote here. The previously unknown partner in a $2 billion video game mega deal that mysteriously and dramatically collapsed last spring was a Saudi government-funded Savvy Games Groups. The fall of the failed deal sent shares of the Embracer Group, Savvy's would-be partner and one of the most voracious acquirers of video game studios in the last several years, plummeting and forced it into cost-cutting mode. This is interesting to me. There's a couple of different things that I feel about this. Number one, we've been seeing a lot of movement in Saudi Arabia within the LIV Golf stuff, and now we're seeing moves in within there. And it's interesting because it's a government funded video game company, right? So I feel like you don't really hear a lot about that. But the fact that they were able to get that far along within making a deal and then for it to collapse, I still don't know why it collapsed per se or why they ended, because there was money that was already going into it. They were investing in it and then they just stopped. This absolutely made the Embracer Group pump the brakes. Clearly, they were making moves under, I feel, again, I'm speculating, they were making moves under the, I guess, idea or thought that this deal was going to be going through. So for the fact that it didn't end up going through, I mean, that absolutely was devastating for them. We know that they've already started. They were talking about cutting games from some studios. I believe the Tomb Raider stuff is still coming out. They're still working Tomb Raider and some of their bigger IPs. But again, we saw Lord of the Rings, the Gollum, that absolutely flopped, you know, so, and then I think that studio is just no longer a studio anymore. So, right. You know, it's kind of scary to see that something like one move like that. And again, don't get me wrong. $2 billion is a lot of money, but to see that fall through and then basically topple what was a giant. We've been talking about the Embracer Group and the moves they've been making and the studios that they've been acquiring for the last couple of years now. Like, they've got a heck of a list of just different studios that make and have rights to some of these some bigger IPs. I don't know. This is scary. This is scary to see that something like that can derail such a big company. Is a little concerning It's a little concerning.
It is. Yeah, the story is obviously complex on a couple different levels. As you just alluded to, you know, these big companies are supposed to be the quote unquote safer bets for studios, right? They're supposed to be the mm-hmm. the almost too big to fail type situations, and to see this deal fall through and collapse their plans and force them into some pretty major cost cutting measures is scary. We all know that the history of game development is not the most stable or secure industry as it is. So to see something like this happen certainly does not help. You know, there's the and to give the makers of Gollum a little bit of a lifeline here, maybe they couldn't delay it. Maybe they were told, we need to get some revenue coming in. So whatever state this game's in, guess what? It's coming out, and we're gonna bank on the Lord of the Rings name selling it. So maybe that's what happened. You never know, right? And of course, the Saudi Arabia stuff. I mean, you see this controversy in the sports world right now, where you know people are accusing Saudi Arabia of trying to sports wash their history, and this seems to be I'm not going to get into the political stuff here because that's not our jam for this show. But if you feel that way about them in sports, I have to imagine you feel a similar way about what they're trying to do in the entertainment space. So I'm interested to see how the discourse develops from here. Clearly they have money. Clearly they're willing to spend it. However, this is also those dangers of, you know, don't count your chickens before they hatch, and right. How dangerous and risky it is to make deals on the assumption that you have money that's not signed and not in your bank account yet. So,
yeah,
it's tough. It is worrisome. It makes you worried that other companies are operating on similar manners where they're just assuming a deal is done and they start operating like it's done. And what happens if it doesn't go through? And it's the employees that pay the price in that regard. So yeah, it's a worrisome trend. And as much as I hope that this was just a one-off, if Embracer Group's doing it, you know others are.
Yeah, or at least looking at that prospect, because that's a lot of money. And they did. They did $1 billion worth of Embracer shares. So they still have a stake in the Embracer Group in itself. But their whole big thing is that's kind of an initiative that they've made is looking to put more investments in the gaming industry. They had pledged Savvy Game Group had pledged $38 billion to the video game industry. Essentially, they're looking at making a push for Scopely, which is a mobile gaming developer or gaming company, and you know, kind of like you're saying, kind of trying to stay away from the political stuff because that's not really what we talk about, but it is something that has kind of come up as a concern, and that's what they were saying originally was, hey, is this going to mess up our values as a group, as the Embracer Group, and what our core values are? Because, you know, again, there's a lot of this stuff is, you know, human rights issues and things of that nature. So there is definitely a look at that, but I just don't understand, even with them committing $1 billion in stocks, Why step away at that point in time? What made them like there? I feel like there's more to this story that we haven't heard. I'm glad to know that, like, 'cause that was a huge major thing, and like right. The ripple effect has been felt throughout the gaming industry. Multiple studios, games that were supposed to be coming out have been canceled now. It had a very big negative effect, not only on the Embracer Group, but even as consumers and things that we had expected or were wanting. It's scary, especially those companies that were picked up by the Embracer Group, thinking they found a home, a great place to be able to work and create. Now all of a sudden they've gone into this restructure mode because we know they've been buying up. I think now they are inflated. They've got too much for what they had projected. And I think they threw that $2 billion into them projections. And I think that's what really ultimately ended up burning them there. So we're going to continue following this. This is something that, again, I found interest in. I especially with the Embracer Group and the moves that they've been making. So to see that and to see the negative impact on that stuff, it's going to be felt, but hopefully they are able to bounce back and get things going again, because they do have a lot of great studios that work underneath that Embracer umbrella. So I'm curious about this. Also, this also is making me look at Savvy Games more and what they've got going on, because before today, I didn't even know about them. So the fact that they're trying to make moves and push themselves a little further into the spotlight within the games industry, it'll be interesting, because if they're doing stuff like this now, you can expect more news and more things happening. I'm sure that the Savvy Games has in store for breaking more into the industry.
Yeah, it's definitely not over. It's going to be interesting to see what comes through, that's for sure. But Ryan, let's end on some more positive news here. We have an official date for the Game Awards this year, Thursday, December 7th, at the Peacock Theater in LA. Jeff, come on back to Las Vegas,
come,
man.
Come to Vegas. Jeff.
You know it. We need a year, at least a year. Come back. Regardless of that, it's one of the biggest shows of the year. I know a lot of people get excited for it. We can all debate who should have won versus who did win. I'll say this. Jeff has carved out a heck of a niche within this games industry, so that he is like the go-to guy to produce these shows like this. I think it's not an understatement to say that Summer Games Fest played a very major role in E3 struggles to come back over the years. So the production quality is there. We can debate whether the format's good or not, but it is one of those areas that people mark on their calendars every year. I think he's pretty much accomplished his goal of it being like the quote unquote Oscars of games. I think he's pretty well achieved that by now. I know that a lot of people from across the industry gather. So if you can, it's a great way to network, great way to run into people into the industry. Ryan, it's just a lot of fun, and it always spurs some good discussions. I'm excited for the 7th.
Yeah, no, I'm pumped about that. Again, it's always nice to know that there is now an official date. There's a location. I'm sure. Do you know if how does that work exactly? Do they sell tickets to it, or is it
a limited number of public tickets? They go fast. So when they make the announcement, if you want to go, just start thinking about it now, and be ready for it, and be ready for some pretty high hotel costs.
Yeah, you know, they've really done a great job with this though too, and just like you were saying, the production of it, it does feel like your movie awards, the Emmys, the Oscars, your country music awards, like those kind, that level of show. And of course, it's really about recognizing the amazing work that went on throughout the year. And there's been so many great games that have come out this year. We still have more great games that are coming out soon. We've got Starfield coming out here. Yep. In a few months. There's other things that I'm sure I'm spacing on. The biggest one that I can think of though is Starfield, that will be coming. That's like the big, I don't know. We haven't really gotten a lot from Xbox. So I feel like it's going to be something. We'll see, just how well it's received. I know review copies and stuff like that have started going out into the wild. So people are already getting their hands on Star. We need to position ourselves to be able to get our hands on these games.
We do. We really do. Also, Microsoft, we're open to interviewing people. We would love to get some Bethesda people out here. Just remember, Ryan, this is the least buggy Bethesda game ever. That was promised to us.
Yo, they said it. They said it. I was like, ooh, you guys are going to come out and say it. All right. Now the bar is definitely risen. You know, it's interesting that they say that too, because I kind of said that, I was like, I felt like Microsoft was going to be able to reel Bethesda in. So that actually does make me feel a little more confident about what they've got going on in Starfield. Obviously, they imposed the pushing back the dates of it going, but it's gone gold now. So the game is done. The game is officially finished. So we'll see. I know. We'll see. I know reviews won't start dropping till closer to the date that it's actually releasing. I'm curious to see how the reviews are going to go, but it doesn't matter to me. I'm day one Game Pass, baby. We're day one Game Pass, so I'll be playing it regardless. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, obviously, Starfield needs to be a hit for multiple reasons. The scary thing is October is so stacked. If any of those games disappoint, they're just going to get lost because there's so many other games coming out. So every game currently, especially for the major releases, they need to land because they don't have the breathing room because they're just going to get swallowed up by the next game.
And I think that's the world that we live in now, where there is an excess of good, solid games. They don't even have to be coming out this year. I mean, you've got, you know, like I was saying, Destiny 2. I've been playing it for 10 years. That will always be on my priority list unless I end up just walking away from it. But, you know, there's no room to have these kind of buggy messes that, you know, your launch day is a mess or whatever, because right out the gate, having that is going to hurt your numbers. Folks talk, we're on the internet, you know, and you'll get absolutely ripped apart. And then people are going to be like, I'm not even going to waste my time playing this. And, you know, that's one of the big, like, for me, that's been one of my big disappointments was Redfall. And it being Arcane Studios, still Bethesda, but they're the folks that did Deathloop. And you know, Thief and Thief and all that stuff, and like to have a game come out the way that it did, we're feeling it. I feel like as consumers, we start feeling that impact. Like, oh, there's not a lot of love that was, and I'm not saying that people didn't work hard or anything, but like,
right,
it lacks so much. And again, I'm not saying that this is developer's fault or anything, because there's a whole another level of people, or you've got you know, folks like I'm losing where I was going with that, but you know, you have things that shouldn't, wait, I don't remember where I was going. I was going somewhere with that. I was ranting. I ranted too hard. I started.
It's no, I think I know what you were trying to say. That there's you have these studios that have had good histories that just seemingly rush a game out to meet the release date. You know, did Redfall ever add 60 frames yet? Like, did they ever update that? I don't know. I don't know.
I know there's been some updates, but I don't think that's happened yet, dude. I don't think that's happened yet.
Ridiculous, first of all. But second of all, I think that also speaks to that, like, when you struggle at launch, people move on. People, and you know, the interesting thing about Game Pass is, on one hand, it feels like it's easy for gamers to give games a second chance. However, it's also easier for them to forget it because now it's part of Game Pass. I didn't invest any money, so now I'm like, on to the next one, and then I just move on. So, Starfield's got to be good. It's got to be good. Microsoft cannot afford this to swing and miss badly. Like, it has to be pretty solid.
Well, not even Microsoft, Bethesda in general. I mean, the last major Bethesda game that came out was Fallout 76, which also was a disastrous launch. Disaster on the physical edition stuff, and like the, like, there's all kinds of discrepancy between like the bags and stuff that you got with the collector's edition. You know, again, buggy. You were talking about an online world, the first time that you're going to be online for Fallout, and it's empty. There's not even, I don't even think originally there was NPCs, right?
Yeah, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy. And talk about a waste of one, your strongest IP, like top to bottom there too, man. Yeah. Yeah. I will remain optimistic. Starfield will be really good. It's going to be. It's the least buggy Bethesda game ever, Ryan. How can it not be great?
They said it. Exactly. They said it. But I know we've kind of gotten off track here a little bit, but you know, the Game Awards, again, fantastic time, a great time to be able to recognize the amazing work that took place within 2023, the games, the actors, the music, the design, independent games that came out, everything. So, you know, I'm really looking forward to this. We're also going to be getting, obviously, they'll have some world premieres and other things like that as well. Hire me. So it's exciting. Just knowing that we've got a date on it. Get your bingo cards ready. You can start doing it now. And it's just a fun event. I feel like, you know, they really do a really good job of putting together these events. And, you know, between the music that they do, the drops, the venue, the folks that they have come on, is fantastic. So I'm pumped. I can't wait. I can't wait to see the Game Awards and what they've got in store for us. Plus, that's right around the time we're knee deep in holiday season at that point in time, too. So, you know, it'll give you a little idea of what's to come around the corner here in 2024 as well. So always a great time to be able to see that.
And what's great for us is because the Esports Awards moved up to the end of November, we have a couple days in between the shows. It's not like we're right after each other.
Yeah.
I will say, my prediction for the Game Awards, call it right here. The last reveal of the show is going to be smoke emerges on the stage, and Keanu Reeves emerges in person this time, and he's going to reveal that gosh darn Matrix game, Warner Brothers, that you must be working on.
Yo,
you can thank me later.
You heard it here first. I'm putting that down. I'm taking a note of it to make sure. I'm like, all right, we're waiting for that Matrix. Where are
I'm
you,
sorry,
Keanu?
Jeff. I revealed the biggest surprise already. I'm sorry.
How dare you? Great news, though. Fantastic to see. We've got a date. I'm excited to see it come back and all that good stuff. So, also, too, there was one last thing that we wanted to talk about, right?
Speaking of great news, Ryan, good segue. Hey. There was a list put together by FeedSpot, right? That's
yes, yep.
Of the 70 best Las Vegas podcasts. Now, I will say that there were a couple of Las Vegas Review Journal podcasts on that list, Branding, Mobbed Up, and Vegas Nation, which are both excellent that you should check out, especially if you're a Raiders fan for Vegas Nation, and if you're a crime podcast fan, which, let's face it, who of us aren't? Mobbed Up is a very, very good series, too. Our friends at CityCast were on that list as well. Yes. So shout out to them. So lots of amazing local podcasts. When you go check out this list, we are also on that list, Ryan. So everybody should look for it. However, they don't need to look very far because we were number one. Woohoo!
What an honor, man. What an honor to be able to top this list, to get this recognition. Again, there are so many amazing podcasts out here in Las Vegas. So to see this, to see this kind of recognition and to have us there, you know, at the top as kind of as we're going through here a little bit. And you talked about Vegas Nations right here. We had our friends at CityCast over here at 11. Our friends Vegas Revealed, they've got a fantastic show and so on and so forth. But to be able to sit there at that number one spot is absolutely nuts to me. Again, big thank you to FeedSpot for featuring us and having us on this list. Not only to make this list in itself is an honor, but to top that list is, I don't even know how to... It was quite the surprise.
It really is. And, you know, it's always a good feeling that people listen. You know, it's funny, Ryan, I posted this on Facebook that when we started, I just sat there thinking, I'm like, who's going to even listen to this? Like, like I guess like loved ones and family, right? Like and like just to see how the show has evolved, thanks to everybody who has supported us and been on the show and listened to us, you know, it's and the best thing is all the friends we've made along the way, you know, it's podcasting like gaming is a very supportive community, so it's just been really fun to see people take topics that they're passionate about and see everybody find success. So it's really cool. This is a huge honor, a huge surprise. Yeah, this just came out of nowhere for us. So thank you to FeedSpot. And yeah, we're not done though. We've got a couple of cool, including at the end of the month with the Golden Crane Podcast Awards. That fingers crossed, yes. We can take home the Best Entertainment Podcast title. So yes. We'll see. But anyway, yeah, just thank you to everybody. It's really so much fun to be a part of this community. I think just by that list of podcasts, it just shows you how diverse this community is in Vegas, mm-hmm. And how that there's so much to cover. From all different angles, it's just we live in an amazing city.
Absolutely, and again, we're proud and happy to be able to be a part of the community, and you know, just to get that kind of recognition, and the fact that folks out there are listening and supporting, we really do appreciate that. Wherever it's coming from, you know, here in Las Vegas, around the country, around the world. Thank you guys so much for listening and being along for this journey as well. Cause it has been quite the journey. So, all right, my friend, what do you got going on this weekend, brother?
Aside from my usual, I think I'm prepping for a fantasy football draft with a friend of mine. So it's nice. About that time where I devote way too much time to mm-hmm. fantasy football. But hope springs eternal for NFL fans this time of year. Like this is the moment where all our teams are ready to shock the world.
This is that moment where it's like anything is possible this season.
right? That every good thing in preseason is going to be 10 times better in the regular season. Everything yeah. bad is it's preseason, so it doesn't count. So, you know, we're fine. Exactly. We're fine. So, that's about it for me. What about you, Ryan? What are you up to this weekend?
Same. I'm going to be, I'm sure, getting on that Destiny grind as the new season just started today. As of the recording, so I'll be getting on that, hopefully, maybe trying to get to I've been stuck in the 70s again, so I haven't really played a lot of Marvel Snap though, so I'm gonna try to get some time in. Like I said it before, I've been playing Exo Primal. I actually got contacted by somebody from PR firm, and they hooked me up with a code to be able to have nice. To unlock all the exosuits, the variant exosuits. So that's been a lot of fun trying out the new abilities and all that good stuff. So probably playing that and then finishing Final Fantasy 16. I am like literally 85% finished with the game. I am right Ooh. There. There is one mother crystal and I'm coming for you. So it is. That story's been amazing, by the way. I would say this has been one of the best Final Fantasies story-wise, I feel, and I haven't played a ton of them, but that I felt that I played in a long time. They did a really good job with this. So that's nice. Most likely what I'll be getting down on this weekend. You know, again, thank you guys so much for joining us as well. Don't forget, hit us up on the tweeters at LandPartiesPod, at LucasEgan, or at Smitty2447. Again, we hope you have an amazing weekend as well. And you know what it is. We love your faces.